Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We are on the road again. We are on the second quarter official Power to the Poultry Tour with Tractor Supply Company. We headed out yesterday morning. We loaded up the Chicken Whisperer Mobile, the good old RV, and we headed north up 85 into the Carolinas. We crossed over the border yesterday into South Carolina, and we stopped at a very nice RV resort yesterday afternoon, and we partaked in a little family time at the sparkling pool, which was very, very nice and well needed after we got the RV all hooked up and the whole nine yards. And then, of course, woke up this morning, unhooked, and we are now sitting in the parking lot of the Anderson, South Carolina Tractor Supply. Yes, sirree, got on here. It was only about a 20-minute drive, maybe 15-minute drive from where we stayed last night, and I think it was called Townville, just south of Anderson. But we loaded up and headed this way this morning so we could get here in time to broadcast this great radio show all across the world for all of our wonderful, wonderful listeners. So we're looking forward to the event tonight. It will, I will be in the official capacity of the Chicken Whisperer, if you will, starting at 5 p.m. That'll be for, book signings, autographs, pictures, Q&A, things like that. And then the official event starts at 6. It goes 6 to 8. It includes a Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop with an official book signing to follow. So we're really looking forward to the event tonight here in Anderson, South Carolina. Come on out and say hello. We'd love to see you. We've heard from Facebook fans. Some are driving as far as 45 miles to come to the event tonight, so we're really looking forward to seeing you. A lot of the local Green Movement Facebook pages have shared our poster and about the event, farmers markets, green living, things like that. So we're hoping for a nice crowd tonight, again, at the Anderson, South Carolina Tractor Supply. Tomorrow, we'll be in Easley, South Carolina for another event tomorrow night. Friday, Weaverville, North Carolina for an event Friday night. And then, of course, beautiful Asheville, North Carolina on a Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live at 9 a.m. from the Asheville Tractor Supply. And then from 10 to noon, that awesome Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop and book signing. Then we're heading out to a chicken stock out towards Statesville, North Carolina. We'll be there Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning we'll wake up from there and head over to Newton, North Carolina for a 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. event there at the Newton, North Carolina Tractor Supply. Spreading the chicken love, we like to call it, all across the nation, and gotta love it. So thank you very much for tuning in today. We got a great show lined up for you today. We, of course, have Arlena Schott, Garden Wise Living, gardening year-round, no matter where you live. And she's going to be joining us talking about dividing and separating perennials, plus whatever wine she might be partaking in today. And just a lot of great stuff. You know you love it when Arlena's on. It's always a fun show. And we'll bring her live here in just a few minutes. So hope you're doing well out there in Radio Land. Want to send a shout-out to all the homeschoolers that listen to the show live every day. We appreciate you incorporating the show into your curriculum. We do appreciate that 100%. All the over-the-road truck drivers, hey, many of you pass us and we pass you. Y'all pass me more than I pass y'all, but keeping it on the road, keep the rubber on the road, and we like to see you and hear from you via email and whatnot, so thanks for tuning in 24/7 whenever you can out there on the road. All of our live listeners that can't access the chat room, I heard from another couple this week that said, I used to be in there all the time. I got a new job. I listen while I'm at work, but the internet won't let me access the chat room. So I know who you are. Thank you very much for sending me your updates and messages. But so to all the live listeners and to the thousands, yes, literally thousands of listeners that listen to the archive when you can, when it's downloaded to your, I guess, whatever it is, your iPod, your phone, what have you, from iTunes.com, podcast.com, Zoom.com. And all the others that are out there. So again, thank you very much for tuning in. What's the tour all about? Well, we're stopping at Tractor Supplies, and we call it the Getting Started with Backyard Poultry Workshop. And it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours long. I try to keep it about an hour and a half so we have time for book signing afterwards, and people can go do a little shopping while they're at Tractor Supply. But I cover a little bit about everything, okay? We start off with the growing movement, why we know there's a movement, and how we know it's a movement. And then we get on to, again, getting started, many ways to get started, whether you're hatching your eggs, getting baby chicks from locally, or maybe from mail order, or maybe you're going to get started birds. Maybe you're going to get layers already. So we go through all the options that a newbie has to actually start their backyard flock. Then we get on and talk a little bit about choosing the right breeds for you. We talk about incubation. We talk about a little bit about brooding. Then we get into actual coops. We talk about predators. We talk about nutrition and choices of feed. We talk about the grand old egg, washing egg, not washing egg, the whole nine yards, maybe egg issues, egg problems. And, of course, we talk about a little bit about nutrition and whatnot. So it is, again, well-rounded workshop. And, again, it's for really the beginner. That's why we call it Getting Started with Backyard Poultry. Again, if you've kept chicken more than about 3 years, then you probably know a lot already regarding the workshop. But you'll still probably learn a little something if you come out, and it'll be good to see you anyway and talk to our fans and listeners. That is always a fun time. So five events in 5 days, looking forward to it, and so far so good. Now it's going to be interesting crossing the mountains up in North Carolina. We haven't done too much mountain travel with the RV, so brakes have been checked, everything's good, knock on wood, you know, say a little prayer. But I've looked at Google Earth. I went down and did kind of street view and took a look at the main part of the mountain, and actually we'll be going down more of a mountain. We'll have a slight incline from Easley to Asheville. But the steep grade going down the mountain when we leave out of Asheville heading towards Newton and Statesville. And it doesn't look like it's too bad, so hopefully it won't be, and we'll be just fine. So not too worried about it. Hey, just don't ride the brakes, right? Of course, we've got trailer brakes, trailer hookups, the whole nine yards. And I was reading online about tips about driving down grade. From big trucking sites, things like that, and getting some tips and educating myself a little bit. You know, I'm traveling with my family and precious cargo. You know, Lily, who's 3 months old, Caleb, who's two, Jen, my wife. So, and I sure as hell want to keep spreading the chicken love as long as I can. But I saw something that really made sense and I really liked. It said, pick a 10-mile-an-hour spread. So whether it be 45 to 55 or 50 to 60 or 55 to 65, pick a 10-mile-an-hour window, okay? And then when you get up, as you're going down the steep grade, when you get up to that particular the max that you decide in that 10-mile-an-hour window, let's say you want to do 50 to 60. When you get up to 60 miles an hour, then you'll apply the brakes enough to get you back down to 50. And then you let off the brakes. And of course, you'll use your transmission and get in the lower gear, whether it be second or third. And we have a great option on the SUV where we can drive it as an automatic if we want to, just like any other automatic vehicle. But it's basically got two basically slots, or I can push the gear shift over and I can drive it like a manual, literally first, second, or just drive it just like a manual. So we'll drop it down into a third or second, depending on the grade, and the transmission keep the car at a slower speed. But basically, when you get up to, say, 60, you'll use the brakes to slow down to 50 and then release the brakes. And then when you actually kind of coast back up to 60, then use the brakes to bring you back down to 50. That way the brakes have time during that increment of going from 50 to 60 to cool off. And then once you're at 60, you can use those brakes to get you back down to 50. So pick that 10-mile-an-hour window and just stay between that. And then that way you're using your brakes, but you have that window where the brakes are cooling as you're heading down the hill. So definitely looking forward to trying that out as we head up through the mountains of beautiful North and South Carolina. So gotta love it. But hopefully you can come out tonight. We're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to a great event. And of course, Caleb can't wait to get into Tractor Supply. I think Jen's in there fixing lunch now for everybody. But they got great toys. Who needs to go to a Toys R Us or any of the other places when they have some awesome toys at Tractor Supply? Do they not? They're awesome. And, of course, he already loves tractors and trucks and farms and things like that. So, he is right at home here at the local Tractor Supply. So, looking forward to it. It's a hot day today. I suspect we'll probably get up into the low 90s, I'm guessing, maybe between 90 and 95 degrees. So, it will be a hot one today. But may have some pop-up thunderstorms here a little bit later in the day. So, no worries, but we hopefully that won't stop you from coming on out to the event this afternoon at the Anderson, South Carolina Tractor Supply. Gotta love it. Okay, we're going to take a short little beginning break here, and then we're going to look at the switchboard very carefully. Arlena should be calling in here shortly, and she's going to be talking about year-round gardening. Today, we're talking again about splitting, dividing perennials. Looking forward to that. Of course, she'll tell us whatever wine she's partaking in. And I'm sure any other garden topics you may have in the chat room, I'm sure she would like to answer. And for year-round gardening. So we'll be back right after this short break. You're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, live on the road with the Power to the Poultry Tractor Supply Tour. We'll be back right after this.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your HenSaver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let's head over to the phone lines right now to the switchboard, and let's bring on Arlena Schott with Garden Wise Living. You know, love, you love the show, you love her. Let's give her a big Chicken Whisperer welcome. Hey!
I couldn't get my bottle open. That is a bad thing when Arlena can't get her wine bottle open. No,
yeah,
that's
oh my God, tragedy? That's tragic.
No, actually, it wasn't that. It was I was on the road. I'm back home.
I know.
But I'm landscaping, so that's what I do for a living. You know, dig in the dirt and put plants in for people and
manscaping. You're manscaping.
No, manscaping. That's a whole different thing. That's done with a razor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know. Okay. Landscaping.
Landscaping or plantscaping. my business is Arlena's Plantscape and Design. But that's what I really do for a living is actually landscape or design garden beds and flower beds and borders and ponds and patios and all that fun stuff. And so today we were off trying to get the plants ready for the installation today after the show, so I was getting a little late start getting back from the greenhouse. So otherwise, I made it.
All right.
I made it.
You and me both were running late. We got here in time, but
yep.
we're setting up. I was cutting it by the wire, too, because we found a place, and we ran the extension cord from the 30-amp with the converter to the regular 110. Mm-hmm. Plugged it in just inside the front door of the Tractor Supply. This is kind of it's a freestanding store, but they have a store next to them, so it's a double store freestanding, not like a true freestanding with nothing around it. So they're limited on our water and power hookup. So we got to have at least power, so we got the air conditioner in the RV, but I can deal without water because we've got a filtration system we can fill up. And anyway, so after about 3 minutes of the air running, it just went and it just nothing. So I'm like, okay, there's obviously more than just this one thing on that line. So we went up here by the road sign where they said they had a plug, so I know nothing is running off of this. And so far, so good. We've got the cool air going and whatnot, but it was close. About 3 minutes still, I was like, okay, let's get the switchboard open. Let's go ahead and talk about the show on Facebook. Let's get this done. Got to have a show. In fact, we've already got a question in the chat room, but I know you've been traveling too. Tell us about it. You have been all over the place, and I saw where you're heading over to Michigan next. But this is all on the miniature garden tour?
Absolutely. Michigan is next. That's to Michigan, the first, second, and third of Bloomapalooza, which is a trade event for the horticulture businesses. You know, any of Independent Garden Center will go there to purchase their plants for next season and get information. And I will be speaking there, and I'm really excited about Bloomapalooza. Actually, the event is actually fashioned after a music festival. Which means somebody's trying to beep in. I'm not answering. Which means it is actually there's going to be lots of live music and bands and things like that. So it's really going to be a fun atmosphere. And I've heard a lot of people say tie dye shirts. And so hey, it's going to be interesting. But yes, I am home. I was on the road for 3 weeks. Down I landed in San Juan Capistrano, down by Annie Haven. And Annie and Haven and I spoke at our first event there in Orange, California. And then she went home and I went on and all the way up the coast of one. I took one all the way up, got to see the seals and eat lots of wonderful seafood and sea otters and all kinds of fun stuff. Met a lot of wonderful Independent Garden Center owners and a lot of wonderful miniature garden people that enjoyed the talk as well as the workshop and built miniature gardens after my one-hour discussion of what a miniature garden is. So, yes,
How's the poop lady doing?
Lady is doing wonderful. Annie is amazing, and she is doing just absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, she is doing great, doing great.
Awesome.
So it's been a whirlwind. And then get home and instantly go from the airport straight north to Winter, Wisconsin, where I spoke a couple times at Winter Greenhouse, and then home, and then, of course, we had a baptism for new grandbaby, brand new baby Tashlin, makes number 7 for me. My goodness gracious, she's got bright red hair. I don't know where she got that from. Anyway, and so it's just
she's
been really
have a temper. She's going to have a temper.
Yeah, and she does have the temper to mom. Yeah, mom Dina, my daughter Dina, my oldest daughter, who had Tashlin on June. In June, well, middle. Don't even ask me when. I mean, I'm telling you, I was gone. It was like the first grandbaby I've missed the birth of. But I did get to make up for that at the baptism this last weekend, and then another grandbaby's, two different grandbabies, girls that are 4 and that are 5 and 6 that actually had birthdays. So it was a busy. My gosh, what the heck? Let's take a little whoa down. But yes, it's been busy, and we're excited about the tour still going on. Miniature gardening is hot, and it's fun. And you were on the road.
Yes,
today,
we are.
And you've been on the road.
Yeah, a little bit. You've been on the road. Now you're back home. Now I'm on the road. It's funny how it works that way. But it's just we'll be gone for about 10 days, and then. No flying. We went and we did our flying part, and back when, I think it was 2010, we took 10 days and we were with Purina, and they flew, and then we flew all over the country. We've flown a lot, but we don't like it. We never have gotten comfortable with it. You know, if we have to fly, we'll fly. But we're just not a huge fan. We always love taking Amtrak and the trains and driving. Now we got the RV. It works out great. But just not a huge fan of airplanes, no matter how much we fly. It's just one of those things. You know, if the engine or tranny goes out in my SUV or the RV, I just coast over to the side of the road. But if something happens in the air, it's just one of those things. You know, I look at these, no matter how many times a physicist, a scientist, an aeronautical engineer explains to me, it's all, in fact, most of them say, it just all boils down to the exact shape of the wing to create lift. I said, here we are 30,000 feet in the air, and all this, that little shape of the wing right there. That big old thing is just not meant to be, you know. And then this thing that weighs however many tons is lifting off into the air to, what, 120, 150 miles an hour? And I'm thinking, you know, no, this is just not be right. So this is just not right. So still not a fan. Do it, have done it a lot, but just never got comfortable. So I prefer the rubber on the road. But yeah, no worries there. I'm glad the miniature gardens is taking off. That is absolutely awesome. And gotta love it. That's so popular, and it's something that anybody can do. You don't have to lug, you know, 40-50 pound bags of soil and fertilizer. I mean, even if you have a physical handicap, or you're just not real active, maybe you have a heart. You can sit at the table. You can have your pot.
You can do inside miniature gardens with cacti and succulents and things that live inside outside or anything. So it's just anybody and everybody, no matter what your physical activity allows you to do, you can do a miniature garden.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what's really great about it. And kids are really, really excited about it because you throw a little fairy in it and it brings the whimsical to them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then and anything to get children gardening, that's my opinion on it. That's the most fun of my job is, or my life is, to watch what people create after I have spoken their ears off. That's even more fun.
That's awesome.
Actually, to see what
that's
they
awesome.
Create, yes.
I'm picturing, you talk about the kids and how the kids can have fun too. I'm picturing Caleb and getting a some type of a pot or whatever to create his miniature garden, and I can see him having of course the chicken coop and a little mm-hmm. mini tractor there and things like that. But I can see in the middle of this big pot of soil, maybe it's a decorative pot, whatever. Maybe he could be creative and get like a an old I don't know, like a wooden vegetable crate or something to make it
sure.
out of and make it cool like that. And then right
mm-hmm.
smack in the middle, have little plant his garden around, things like that. Have a little toy tractor and things
mm-hmm.
like that, chicken coop. But right in the middle, I can see him kind of making a long little stretch, maybe a little indention into the dirt, filling it with water, and having a mud pit for his monster mm-hmm. truck. See, I
exactly.
can see right there
yep.
in the Miracle-Grow high moisture content planting mix. He'll have a nice little mud pit for his monster trucks right there in his miniature garden. I can see that happening.
I can see that, absolutely. And that's what's fun about miniature gardening. It's for everybody, bigger, little or old or young, it doesn't matter, because you know why? There are no rules. There are no rules. You can pretty much do what you want to do anytime you want to do it with a miniature garden. Yeah. I did see that there was a what's that?
You're the rebel gardener. You're like, hey, whatever goes, you know?
I am the rebel gardener. And when I speak, I always talk about this Blog Talk Radio show, and everybody laughs. Because I have to introduce the little miniature chicken coop, and I always say that I'm a co-host on the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and they all laugh, of course, you know. And then, of course, I say I'm known as the Rebel Gardener because I pretty much do what I want to do when I want to do it. Yeah. So it works out good.
Now, of course, you follow that up, though, with, you know, if someone's going to go out and prune azaleas in February right before they bloom in the spring, we know that you'll be like, you know, there's some limits to just do whatever, whenever, and you'll guide them in the right direction. But at the same time, if it's anything, you're just like, hey, go ahead and transplant it, go ahead and dig them up, whatever. And like I said, that the question in the chat room today, we've already had one, I believe it was from East Dallas Day, was asking, let me see.
About hostas, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's see, did it disappear on me? I'm at the very, very top.
Is there a better? Is Sean Burgess? There's also one from a Sean S E A N. Am I saying that right? B U R G E S S.
Yeah.
And yeah. There is one at that. And
I think
says,
maybe he's still a Dave. He's still in there. He can maybe repost his. It said something about separating hosta. Oh yeah. Sean was asked when to divide hostas.
Okay, well, that's awesome because this is what we thought we would talk about today, and it's perfect. And I have been outside with hostas all day long and all yesterday, and they are huge this year because we've had, of course, zone 4-5 here in Wisconsin. We've had up to 3 inches of rain in one day, and when I was gone on the road, it was rain every single day for 2 weeks. There is water everywhere. So the hostas are just immaculate. They're just awesome. Huge, large leaves. Huge. They just need to be divided. And my opinion on that is, if you were to talk to an expert, you know that word expert, on hostas, they would say to wait till they die back in the fall and then dig the whole clump up and then take apart the pieces. Because as you notice, when you dig up a hosta, you can see the leaf comes straight down, and then you can see the tubers as they separate.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you really wanted to get into it, if it's like a really fancy, like the big blue hostas that like I have that's 4 foot tall, you could really divide that down to one little tuber in that spot and then take the rest and divide them into hundreds. hundreds of hostas if you really wanted to get to it. But if you are like me and I, you know, I'm looking at my hosta beds out here going, okay, they're way out of control and I really need to have move some over here. Can I do it now? Can I? They're huge. Their leaves are huge. Absolutely. And what I would do is I would take my shovel, dig straight down, take out a piece. If you don't, if you just want chunks of hosta, you can just take your shovel, go straight down, and take a chunk of it, and then replant it. The best thing to do is just give the whole thing a haircut right away, first thing first, so I can see down inside where the tubers separate or where the hosta roots separate. So you give everything a haircut. I know it's tough because they're gorgeous and they're monstrous and they're beautiful, but the thing is all that energy is going up to those beautiful leaves, and when we're dividing, we want the energy to the growth to go to the roots, not to all that hair, as you might want to call it. So that's why I call it giving it a haircut. So I would take off all those big, gorgeous leaves. I know it's tough. You don't have to. If you want to, you can very carefully get in there with a knife and go below and cut some big chunks out, take leaves and all, and replant them. And they, you know what, hostas, you know, they're just like amazing plants. They will, if you heal them back into a new spot and give them a little drink of water, of course, here in Wisconsin, we don't have to. You dig a hole and it fills with water. So, you know, then they're just going to be leaves and all. But to do it the correct way, it's easiest to, for me anyway, to completely cut all the leaves off, then look straight down in the plant to see where I can separate those. And depending on how many you want to get out of them, I mean, like one of my hostas is 5 feet across. I could get literally probably 100 or more starts out of that one big hosta plant. And so if you really wanted to do it the right way, not the Rebel Gardener way, then fall is really the best time, or early spring as they're just starting to get their leaf. So you can see the little tuber tips. But if you're like me and I just don't have time, I need to do it when I have time to do it. It will not hurt them. Do it now. Take your shovel, either A, go right down in the plant and get yourself a nice big shovel scoop and put it, transplant it over on the other side, or B, cut the whole, all its hair off, its leaves, and then you can see the two, you can see the little plants down in there, and you can cut little sections off, even if you give it a nice big maybe 8-inch piece, 8 to 12 inch piece of root, and you stick it over there, and another 8 inch piece of root, and you stick it over there, and then you give George down the road a couple of those big, nice, big hostas. But that is the easiest way I know of dividing hostas. I just jump in and do it whenever I have time, because I'm looking at my hosta bed going, okay, I have room there, and I have room there, and this one's overgrown into my yellow hosta, my bright, vibrant lime green hosta. I may want to do it now so that I can see what the bed's going to actually look like when it's full. So, okay, that one's going to be, that's way overgrown. That one needs to be moved so my little lime green can come up through there. So I kind of like to do it when it's huge. Yes, spade separating. Yes! he's a professional. The Sean, he has said spade separating. That's what it's called. Yes, I guess that's a technical term. But yes, that's the best way I know to divide hostas, and it will not hurt them. I know. I've had patches of hostas laying out back here that I got from doing a job site, and my husband's like, you better get them planted, they're going to die. I said, they're hostas, they're not going to die. So they root right where they're at, in the box, it doesn't matter, they root. And then you take them apart when you need them. So, yeah, that's the best way to do it. Same with daylilies. Anybody have a question on daylilies? Exactly the same way, because daylilies' root system looks exactly like a hosta root system. You know, you take that hair off, you have, which are the leaves now, we gotta educate. The hair is the leaves. Take the leaves off, you have the same looking root system down below as like the little tuber sections, the little root sections, as you do a hosta. So that would be the same way. Like my Stella Dior daylilies are monstrous, huge right now. So they're telling me, okay, I could really divide those up and give my hostas and my other plants some more room. So I would do the same thing. If you really want to do it, just dig that whole plant out, lift it up out of the soil. It's a great time to get that grass any weeds that are growing in there, any grass that's growing in there, any unwanted anything, you can pick those right out of the roots. Same with your hostas. Of course, usually when hostas grow, there aren't very many weeds in them because they're such huge leaves. But sometimes your daylilies will get a grass that grows up through them. And this is the perfect, when you're dividing, is the perfect time to get down in there and actually physically look for those quackgrass roots, their bright white roots, and get them suckers out of there so that when you do transplant them, you're not transplanting the grass right along with your beautiful hostas or your beautiful daylilies. So it's a perfect time to do that. I know this is not the optimum time. It is not. Because it's like 85, going to be 90 degrees outside. But believe me, if you are like me and I have this limited time here, I'm a busy, busy person. I am just going to do it, and they will be fine. You cut the hair, the daylilies even, you could leave leaves on. They're just not going to even wilt, I can guarantee it. And then you could just take a shovel or a spade, and you go down and you take yourself a piece off, and then you push the dirt right back up to the side of them, and they'll just continue on like nobody even touched them. And then the little piece that you took off of there, it won't even wilt, I can guarantee it. You can walk over and replant it, and it just stays, keeps on. But if you want to, if they're huge, like Stella Dior daylilies are different because they're really a smaller, thinner leaf, and the daylilies bloom continually all summer. They're a bright oranges and yellows, and so they kind of bloom on and off all the time. But there are the old-fashioned daylilies that tend to get long and leggy and fall over, and those are a little bit different. When I transplant those, I hack that whole top right off. I give them a massive haircut. Take them apart and take any grass or weeds that are maybe in those roots out. Then I transplant them because they will just instantly start to grow. And they're already done usually blossoming by now anyway because regular standard daylilies only bloom, you know, they only bloom at a certain time of season and right along with your irises, and then most of them are done. So that's what I do with those. I'm going to stand on my porch and I'm going to shoot my cow with a BB gun because he's trying to get over the fence. So if you hear the pop of a BB gun, you know what it is. I'm telling you, having critters is sometimes just, isn't it? It's like, really? Do you guys have to do that right now? Get mad. Anyway, so now we've divided our hostas, we've divided our daylilies. What else is there that's huge perennials that people are wondering what to do if you want to divide? But those are the easiest things to do right now. And I'm telling you what, with all this rain, it's just absolutely been amazing how big they are, how absolutely gorgeous they are. Everything is just big. But anyway, gotta love it. Perennials are easiest to divide. That is absolutely the most easiest thing. Coneflowers right now, you can really tell where your coneflowers are starting to blossom, or like mine here in zone 4-5, they're mostly green right now. So they're just looking at me with all these huge plants. So it's really easy just to walk in there with a spade or a shovel, and just scoop up a plant off the side of another plant. And then transplant it somewhere else. Well, when you are actually doing that kind of transplant, for instance, your Shasta daisies or your daylily or your Stella Dior or anything like that. Let's go back. If you're doing like Shasta daisies, Gloriosa daisies, anything, coneflowers like that, then what I suggest you do, if you have to do it this time of year, is to do it in the cool of the evening, so that they have all night long to recuperate if you don't want to completely cut them back. But if, for instance, if you're putting in a new bed and you wanted to transplant some coneflowers or Shasta daisies or some things like that into the new bed, then what you could do, what you should do, is do it in the evening, dig them up, make sure your soil is really good and wet, both sides, where you dug them from and where you're transplanting them, and then You can then trim the whole thing off, and that will give them a better start, because this time of year they are pretty darn big. But that's the easiest way I know of doing those. So we got that. We're handled. We got our perennials, transplanting our perennials. How's your garden growing?
It's growing like a weed. It's going good. We have already started getting a bunch of cucumber and squash, and we harvested all the potatoes. That was done, and then we got all the onions out of the ground and got those in. And right now we've got just a couple of tomatoes, but a lot of squash, a lot of cucumber. And by the time we get back from this trip, about 10 days, we will have probably snap beans and peas coming out of our ears. The tomatoes, I planted 8. I wanted to plant about 12, but I couldn't find the 4 variety that I really wanted. I wanted some Brandywines. I never did find them anywhere I looked. I'm going to have to order them next year. But yeah. I'm down to about 3 good ones. I had 2 that got, you'll be able to help me with this. The leaves just curl basically inside out over the entire plant. They just curled up. They just curled up, and then just forget it. They're not producing at that point. I've seen it before. I had insects, some type of insect, because we try to do everything organically and whatnot. Two on the other end, every single inch of the stem from the ground to the very tip top was covered in some type of tiny little black bug. Or insect, whether it be a sucker or a eater, or I couldn't tell, but it was just covered. And then that left me, I think it was three or four that are doing fairly well. So, which is fine because I can't eat tomatoes because all the seeds. Jen loves them, and then so we should have enough for her to enjoy throughout the season. The corn, I noticed a lot of corn throughout our area this year is a little pale. Not quite as dark green as we'd like it to be. So we might have to hit that with a little bit of nitrogen, possibly when we get back. It has not, brain fart, tasseled yet at the top, but it's still growing really good. We've had a good bit of rain, so I haven't had to irrigate, but maybe once the entire season, which is a blessing. And cantaloupes are doing great. Tons of blooms on the cantaloupes, tons of blooms on the watermelon, and tons of blooms on the pumpkin. So I'm really hoping we'll have a good production of those three. And we always, peas and beans always do really kick butt. They're awesome. Hey, before I forget, all of our listeners are still waiting to hear what wine you're actually drinking.
Ooh, my wine
today. We never went
through
that.
We didn't go through that, and I had a tough time with the bottle, so we better at least talk about that. The wine today I am drinking is a peach wine. It's from Allure. It's Allure Winery, and the winery is in Ceres, California. And I picked it up from a wonderful lady in Santa Clarita, California, when I was there. Her husband works a little bit with Allure Winery. And this is a peach frizzle or peach. It's called a peach frizzle, and it's amazing. It is absolutely Allure peach wine. It goes peachy. Allure goes peachy is what it says. But it's just, I'm going to have to try it because I've already had a little bit, I'm going to have to admit. On NBC, I brought a couple little bottles home, and I had a Today Show or a WEAU TV 13 thing just before when I first got back, and we had tried a little bottle. So it is, oh my gosh, it is just amazing. It's like a champagne wine. It is a bubbly, fresh, and I've put a little sliced nectarines and a little bit of raspberries and just made myself a nice little fresh little drink here to share with you this summer day. And it's delicious, absolutely delicious. Again, it's Allure, A-L-L-U-R-E, peach, and it's delicious. I love it. So that is what I'm drinking. So if y'all want to sample with me, sip and cluck, sip and cluck.
Sip and cluck. Yep,
sip
absolutely.
Sip and cluck. And I'm going to shoot a cow off the deck again because it won't stay off the fence. Let's see if I can get him. Let's see. Wait a minute. Oh, missed. It's just a BB gun. It's just a BB gun. Hello?
I'm here. It sounds like is it just a spring act? It doesn't sound like an air gun. You cock it once.
It's a pump, little pump gun. Okay, it doesn't even hurt them. It's even less deterrent than the hot wire fence. But they're decided. Yeah, they're. Yes, I said shoot a cow. It's not actually shooting them. It just kind of pops them a little, and they stay away from the fence. It's better than them getting in the hot wire. I can guarantee that. They just seem today to have a little bit of an issue. They want to get into my little chicken coop that I just put a bunch of. I just turned them into the pasture around the pond. And they have one little spot that doesn't have a hot wire on it, and they have figured it out. And they know that if they go from that little spot of the pasture to the chicken coop, they can have as much corn as they want. So they're brats, all of them. They're all brats. All six of them are brats.
Okay, Ralph in the chat room thought that the cows wanted some wine.
I think they do. I really do think that they heard me talking about the wonderful peach wine, and they have decided that they would like to have a bit, but they're not getting any because they're in trouble.
Now, these are beef cows, not milk.
Okay, no, these are beef. They're grass-fed beef. Yeah, and when our maple trees fall down, then they're maple tree cows. Yeah, they like the leaves. So it makes you wonder, when you butcher them, do they actually taste like maple?
Yes, wonderful, fresh, grass-fed maple steak.
They smell like the peaches. Yes, they do, and it's amazing wine, and I love it. I love it. Well, you know, here in Zone 4-5, Wisconsin, we have, like I said, we have had rain beyond rain and more rain and more rain. So at one time, maybe about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, the statistics, that's a word, you know, the stats said that there were over 12 to 18 million acres of corn out yet, acres, 12 to 18 acres still not in production yet between Minnesota, Iowa, Ohio, and Wisconsin because of the inability, I suppose you should say, of being able to get into the fields because of the rain. Well, we have had a couple really nice sunny days, and yes, I can see where there's a lot of farmers now being able to plant. But my garden, and I did get my plants purchased before I left on my trip because I left May 31st, and I always plant like the first or second week in June. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get back, and I'm not going to have any plants left in the greenhouses, so I'm going to get my plants, the ones I want, and I'm going to get them ahead of time, and I'm going to get, you know, to keep them. Well, my husband, such a wonderful man that he is while I was gone, saw that all this rain, of course, on these poor little plants was washing all the nutrients out of their little tiny pots. So he took and he transplanted them into larger containers for me, which in turn they grew and they are beautiful. So when I got home, of course, my garden is in the lower part of my yard. And it was under water about an inch and a half. So I couldn't have planted anyway. So just 5 or 6 days ago, we were able to actually till something. And I actually did get to plant tomato plants and pepper plants, but only like halfway down into my garden. The rest is all still underwater. And that's the way it's going to be. The garlic looks okay. I mean, it's been tough on the gardens this year. We had so much rain, it washed a lot of people's early gardens out in May. The neighbor's place up here, it kind of completely came through my culvert up over the road and took my fences all and took them down to the creek bottom, so I was digging fence out. That was before I left. But so far, so good. Potatoes are just starting to come up. They're looking really good. And the cabbages and broccoli, things are starting to really look good since we finally get some dry days and some warm days. It's not necessarily, it's great when you hear, oh, so much rain. Well, there is an extent. We still need sunshine and the heat to go with it. You know, and some of the corn around here is still not knee-high by the 4th of July, so it's probably going to be green chopped rather than making cob.
Go ahead, finish up. I was going to say, we were heading out of South Georgia, head north on 75 and then head 85 up towards the Carolinas. And 'tis the season. You know the 4th is around the corner because, and again, just like peaches, I know Georgia is not the watermelon capital of the world, but we do produce a lot of watermelons. I think California is still number one. We might be number two. But all the trucks heading north on 75, just loaded down with watermelons, pickup trucks, big trucks, old school buses with the tops cut off filled with watermelon, trailers full of watermelons, and cantaloupe, by the way, just tons and tons and tons of watermelons heading out for the big 4th of July week coming up next week.
Well, good. Well, good.
Yeah,
I'm
so
glad to hear that some,
good...
I hope.
Peaches have actually
some people
today...
Did.
I think peaches have started to come into a harvest. You know, there's, as you know, expert, different varieties of peaches from the wonderful Albertas to the Red Globes and things like that. So we've got the early peaches coming in. Hang on just a second. Did that cut off or did you cut it off? Okay. No, that's fine. Oh, no. Hang on just a second.
Yes.
You want to
I'll drink wine while you talk. I'll drink wine because that's my favorite thing to do.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So the peaches are ready, or getting ready then, earlier peaches, correct?
They are, yeah. And so I know that Brown's Farm Market opened up, let's see, on 2 days ago, the 24th, was that Monday? Yeah, Monday they opened up, and they're a famous kind of a roadside, like thousands of acres of peaches and pecans and everything else. But so... yep, and the corn places are down there, and, you know, so, yeah, we got to love those peach cobbler, got to love
peach
it.
Peach cobbler.
Peach,
oh
peach ice,
gosh.
Peach ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Yum.
And just good old, you know. Now, here's the question. Do you, people can sound off in the chat room. This will be a good question for all of us out there in listener world and in the chat room. Do you... I know we wash our peaches because a lot of times if they're not organic, they use a lot of spray, blah, blah, blah. But do you, in this chat room, people can sound off to, do you prefer to peel your peaches before you eat them? Are you not peel them before you eat them? I know we wash them. And then do you eat it like an apple or do you slice it up and eat it, prefer to do it that way? Because I know folks down here, any way and every way, they'll just, some of them won't even why, they'll just grab it out of the peach box they bought it in and eat it just like an apple. So do you like that fuzzy peach skin or do you not like the fuzzy peach skin?
If I pick up my peaches from the local Amish who bring them in from Michigan, because there aren't very many peaches here in Wisconsin, let's put it that way, in my area, let's put it that way. So the Amish will bring in peaches from Michigan, or sometimes you'll find them up in Eau Claire area, which is north of me, who the Michigan farmers or orchards bring them down, or over, I should say, across. And if I'm in that truck with a box of peaches... headed home in that 40-mile drive, I can guarantee I'm not worried about washing nothing. I'm eating them. But if I have the opportunity to wash a peach and get the fuzz off, I'd prefer to take the fuzz off. But, no, I'll eat the skin and all, just like an apple. But I would prefer to rub the fuzz off first. But anyway, he likes it smooth. I am. That's manscaping. Linda, isn't that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Manscaping.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was talking about peaches, but...
Peaches, prunes, and alfalfa. Anyway, yes, I love peaches. Absolutely love peaches. If I could have you send me a couple boxes of peaches, I would do that in a heartbeat. Oh, gosh. I'm drooling here. Thinking of my peach wine. Fine. I'm just going to drink my peach wine. Click and suck, or click and sip, or click and sup. Sup, steep, sup. Anyway. But, yeah, I guess we should go back to a little bit. As far as gardening, what's ready in your garden? I know my daughter and son-in-law who have the CSA, they have a hoop house, which has been a saving grace for their CSA members because they do have, you know, the greens, and they have the cucumbers in there now, and everything is pretty much obviously ahead of everybody else because inside the hoop house, the temperatures stay warmer all night long, obviously. So it's kind of been a really good saving grace. We've done the asparagus, which was amazing, and the rhubarb pies are still coming in and also amazing. But As far as onions, there's a few onions that are just starting to be ready. People are radishes, obviously, and things like that. But here in Wisconsin, we're running a little bit late on things. Strawberries are just getting ripe, which normally by this time.
Really? Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious. We're just behind. I know. I was in California. And when I'm on the road and I see a roadside stand sign, my rental car turns at every single one. And I was like, I had boxes of strawberries in my seat next to me, and I had avocados, 10 for a dollar in my other seat, and I had cherries and apricots and, oh, goodness, garlic, blueberries. When I'm on the road traveling, if a farm market comes by, my car turns. But, yes, here strawberries are just really behind because of the lack of sunshine. It's not necessarily the lack of rain. It's just we had really a lack of rain or lack of sunshine. So Strawberry Festival, the Strawberry Festival in Alma Center, which holds its was last weekend, they had just barely any strawberries. And so this next weekend, especially because of these warm days this week, then strawberries are just going to be plentiful. So that's really good. I'm glad to hear it. So there are going to be a lot of them. They were just so behind. So we're almost maybe 3 weeks behind right now of everything. Like literally everything is behind.
That is just nuts. Just now barely getting strawberries. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. Yep. And you rub the fuzz, so I don't care. But yes, it's gardening is good. It's just a little behind here, just a little behind. But everything else, oh my gosh, we'll go back to the trimming and stuff. Oh my gosh, and transplanting because things have just, especially with so much water, which leads to nitrogen, which leads to growth other than the root, because the nitrogen is what makes all your top monstrously green and grow. And so spirea bushes, your gold mound spireas, your little princess spireas, your snowflake spireas, any of your birch leaf spireas, almost all of your flowering bushes right now could take a summertime haircut because they are like mine. Oh, my gosh, the plants that I put in last year for a lot of homeowners, I go back every spring and make sure all those plants, because I guarantee them for a year, have come back. And some of them are like already 3 feet tall, and they're like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, it's because of all the rain. They've just really boomed. So what we did is what we need to do is give them a summertime haircut, which will you can top all that off like you would do for fall. You can pick them up and give them a really good haircut because let me tell you what, they were going to green right back up, but at least they're going to stay compact and healthy, and they're going to look a little bit more managed because like right now some landscapes look a little bit out of control. So if you want to get your landscape back in control, for instance, your flowering shrubs and bushes and things like that, you give them a haircut. It won't hurt them. Remember, don't cut from the bottom up. You always cut from the top down. Don't hourglass them or pear them or anything like that. So with things like that, oh, my gosh, the spireas are out of control. The daylilies are out of control, and it wouldn't hurt to pick them up and give them a haircut. They're still going to come back and more blossom and really do well for you. They're just out of control with all this water.
So the daylilies, you would the daylilies, though, let's say you have them bloom, and then when you talk about pruning those back and they'll still bloom again, should we just, for example, like we would deadhead the marigolds or the pansies and just pinch the bloom off? Or are you talking about getting some shears and shearing off, not to the ground, of course, but the foliage as well as the blooms that have done and finished blooming? To incorporate more blooms.
More blooms. If you're talking pansies and violas, those all should be always pinched tight, always.
No,
on blossoming. But if you're talking daylilies, if you're talking hybrid daylilies, they usually only have a certain time of year that they're going to blossom anyway. And like the big long leaf daylilies and the big head daylilies, not the fancy tiger lilies or anything like that, but just the old-fashioned daylilies. They have their time to blossom, kind of like an iris, and then they usually just fall over and look at you, right? You can pick those up and give them a really good haircut, which will help them build more root rather than building top. It'll make your landscape look a little bit more pruned or presentable or cleaned up. Get a little head start on that fall cleanup there. And then, but they will not. Regular daylilies will not rebloom for you. Stella Dior daylilies or reblooming daylilies, there's Stella Dior, there's yellow, there's a yellow boy, there's a lemon boy, there's even a red one or reddish orange now. But these are the hybrid daylilies that stay compact. Usually the plant's about 3 foot tall, 3 foot wide, grows in a humongous ball, sends up hundreds of little daylilies, and will bloom on and off all summer long. But this year, they're just loaded with buds, but the plants are humongous. A couple of places, like a dentist office that we do, they're just over the sidewalk, and people are walking around the sidewalk. So they asked me, is there something we can do? I said, we can absolutely give those a summertime haircut. And what I do is I come in, I lift them up by a hand like a ponytail, and I take the shears or the snippers, and I completely give them a haircut. Then it doesn't take but maybe 4 days, and those suckers are already sending up new leaves and new little buds, and they're at least a little bit more compact. They're off the sidewalk so their customers can get by, and they're a little bit more maintained. And it's only, like I say, because of this, all this darn wonderful, beautiful rain that we've been having. Mm-hmm. But in your area, they may do that all the time. I don't know, because of all the moisture. But and then the spireas, the blooming spireas, like your bridal wreath spirea. It doesn't hurt to give that a really good trim every once in a while. You can take those down to 2 to 3 feet off the ground, which a bridal wreath spirea is the old-fashioned spireas that get up to 6 to 8 feet tall and about 8 to 12 feet wide, or even 12 feet tall, depending on which one you have. And sometimes the...
That was my next question. Are you pretty safe any time of the year? I guess if you're not too concerned about blooms, depending on when things bloom, any type of vine plant or trellis plant, pruning it really any time if it's getting out of hand. I guess especially if it's already, you know, let's say, oh, I hate to prune off any type of buds, but I mean, hey, look, I've got this thing covering all of this fence line. I'm not, you know, with most... is it safe to say, or is that a bad assumption, that most vines and trellis-running type of plants prune, not drastically like to the ground, but just pruning, shaping it up any time of the year maybe? Is that a bad assumption?
No, that's a really, really very common thing. For instance, honeysuckle, trumpet vine, clematis, any of those heavy-duty Virginia creeper, I could go on, but even climbing roses in some parts of the country here, we don't touch them because what we get is what we get. But if they're a well-established plant and they're really taking over and just overrunning the sidewalk or overrunning the fence and knocking the fence down, but you know that they're going to bloom more, yes, you will lose a few blossoms, but sometimes it's just you just need to give them a haircut. You just need to take control of the landscape and give them a haircut. It won't hurt them at all. They'll re-blossom, or they'll send out new shoots. Or if you lose a 1 year of blossom because you needed to get some work done, guess what? There's next year. So, no, it's not a bad assumption. It won't hurt anything. You can just do it. Yeah.
Let me ask you
this,
and I'll even mention the brand because I buy it, and I've bought it a couple of times, and it's still I personal experience. I used it in my baskets. I got some nice. I take pride in. We've got a little wraparound front porch in our little farmhouse right along the road, and so we basically put pansies there normally around October, and they'll last. You know how long those are. And then we try normally different things in the summertime. This time I went ahead and did the marigolds, and so I'm out there pretty much whenever we get home from a trip. I take them down, you know, deadhead on that type of thing. And I got when I got them, they're like the moss type baskets. It's fake moss, but anyway, it's a nice basket, chain basket, and then it's got the moss liner in it. And then of course, and then I bought some of this. I said, hey, with us being on the road, it might help a little bit if I get this moisture control special advertised. Let me see if I can put this for radio. Load of crap.
Pretty much.
Because I was like, and I figured it may have a little bit more vermiculite or perlite in it, or, you know, to hold some moisture in it, than maybe some other things. But no, I'm telling you, I'm still having to water those suckers every other day. I'm tempted because I do have a spigot right next to the porch doing a drip line, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm really tempted to do that maybe before fall. But yeah, just that's my opinion about that. Cause
pretty much my opinion as well. I have tried a lot of different products out there, and I'm not going to even throw names out, but there are some products that are just darn not at all what they say, and there's lots of them. And I've tried for moisture control or things like that. And just like you say, a drip line is probably your safest bet and easy to install. And then then when you guys leave, you could just put little drippers on and walk away and not worry about it.
Yeah, turn it on
and
let it roll with it.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, too, and I'm pretty sure because it seems like every year I plant in marigolds, but I've never done them in baskets. So they are, I've got a few, and we all know when you look at the tag marigolds, it'll say, you know, 8 to 12 inches tall, and they never really seem to get that tall. But I've got a couple that have started falling over. They've gotten a little top heavy. And so I made a note this time, a couple days ago when I left, watering them up and everything, that I said, you know what, solve that. I think when I come back, I'm going to deadhead everything. I'm going to get my little pruning scissors out, and I'm just going to basically scalp, that's a bad term, but just take off about 3 inches from the height of these things. And I think, I mean, they're marigolds. Holy cow, they should be just fine, no?
Oh, absolutely. Are they marigolds or are they petunias that you have in a hanging basket?
No, they're marigolds, yeah. They're marigolds.
No, it will not hurt them. You can give them a haircut. They will send out more blossom. If they're getting tall and leggy, snip them back. Grandma used her thumb for lots of things, and that's why she had a green thumb, because she pinched. Just pinch them back. They will come back.
I think it helps. I can see a definite difference when I'm out there and I'm pinching the pansies between October and spring. I go out there every couple of weeks and pinch, and then those start to get leggy. I don't mind the way pansies will run even a little bit and kind of run down the basket and make kind of like a hanging on the outside of the basket. I don't mind that. That looks quite nice. But when I've got a marigold that just kind of goes, falls over, I'm like, no, not so cool looking. So I think that's one of my to-do lists when I get back the end of next week, maybe next weekend, is to get the scissors out and cut those back a little bit. Now, I'm a firm believer of pinch. I think it's I was taught it in school back in horticulture days, you know, hey, pinching those deadhead and all that stuff to incorporate more blooms, better growth, thicker growth. So I'm a stickler about pinching those. Baskets.
Pinch. I agree. That's one of the easiest. Everybody wonders why I have pansies and violas all season long. It's because I do not let them get long and leggy. I keep them pinched back. Of course, in the afternoon shade.
Hey, summertime. Long and leggy is not all that bad. Speaking of long and leggy, the Christmas chick is joining us, and she says, "I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm ready to kill my goats." So I wanted to let Christmas chick. Hey, you're not the only one that's having livestock problems today, Christmas chick. Arlena's actually been shooting her cows with her BB gun during live
off
on the show. off the deck because they know there's an area of fence that's not electrified. And they want to go over to the coops and get free corn, and she's drinking peach wine today. They want the peaches, and so she's been having livestock problems. So Christmas Chick says, Christmas Chick says her goats left her property. Now, see, that's the thing about goats. Let me tell you, escape artists. If you have 4,000 miles of fence, and you have a 6-foot area, that's it. 4,000 miles of fence and a 6-foot area that's compromised, they're going to find it.
They're going to find it. Yes, they are. I'm telling you. Yep, and these kids are the same way, my cows here. They're the same way. And I have another story here. I had 10 Americana chicks. All leafed out. Yeah, that's a good way. All leafed out. All feathered out. All nice. Went from the coop now into their larger cage that I start incorporating them into the flock. So so they can't get totally hashed. They can get out of the way if they need to. So I'm tilling garden. I'm here at the house. I had 10. 2 hours later, I had 9. 2 hours later, I had 7. And by the end of the day, I have 4.
Oh,
needless to say, I do not own cats, but I saw two really big ones. And I'm thinking the neighbor farm, I'm thinking they have kittens probably, and they're probably feeding their kittens. Needless to say, I put the BB gun down. There was a 22 on the, I'm just saying, sorry, but if my dogs are in their pen killing their cows, they're going to shoot my dogs, or they're going to get at least come over and say, ma'am, your dogs are in my stuff, and their cats are in my stuff. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that anymore. Anyway. Yeah, well, I like cats, but not if they're in killing my critters. No, I don't like that. Christmas chick, daddy goat, 2 mamas and 2 babies, and you drug them home. Oh, my. We love having critters. I love having critters. But sometimes they test you, don't they?
Yep, I remember our goats, and they will definitely test you. Like I
yes.
said, 4,000 miles of fence, if they're 6 feet, they will find that.
they will find their way out. Well, it's like my cows. There's 6 of them out there, and they just watch one of them who just walks around and tests. And as soon as they find one spot, they are going to come through it and go eat the corn in the chicken coop.
She's like, I'm not sure how much longer that I'm going to have goats.
I know. That's what my husband says about the cows.
Would you
sell them, suckers? I know. Darn it. Anyway, well, have we solved the world's gardening problems with the trimming? Even trees. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I have driven around, and the trees are just overgrowing and monstrous. Trim them babies up. Oh, my gosh. You know, you have to take that foliage off the bottom of your trunks, people. Otherwise, you're growing a what? A bush. You want the crotch of your tree. I know you're going to jump on this one. You want the crotch of your tree up high so you can mow under it. Not in the crotch of the tree means, and I'm going to keep on talking here, not giving you a chance. A crotch of your tree means that is where the first branches start. So if you want the crotch of your tree 2 feet off the ground, then go ahead and leave it there, because that's never going to change, because your tree grows from the top up, people, not the bottom up. So if you want to ride around your mower hunched over and spilling your glass of wine while you mow, go right ahead. I don't. When I bring a tree home from the garden center, I take my snippers and I make my crotch instantly, even if it means I have 4 leaves left on the top of that tree. Because why? The tree grows from the top up, not the bottom up. So your crotch will never change. So then I drive around and you see all that. You stop it. I see all these trees with all this moisture and all this water and all these suckers coming out from the sides of the trees and all these limbs hanging down. And there's Mr. George Farmer over there trying to mow and knocking his hat off and spilling his beer. And, oh, get some loppers out, buddy, and trim that thing.
So, gotcha. They grow from the top, not the bottom. So, yes, you should have enough. The crotch of your tree should be high, so you can walk under it, mow under it without hitting your head, losing your hat, and spilling your beer and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Trim it. Okay. Yeah. So we've solved
trim that
all the way. Fuzz. And he likes it. I'm just not even going to go there.
Okay.
We've had a great day.
We have. It was a great show. Very good stuff. We talked about, we had some BB gun shooting at cattle. We had people passing out in tall grass trying to catch goats. We talked about trimming crotches and the whole nine yards. And, of course, dividing your tubers and the whole nine yards.
Okay.
So
giving haircuts and keeping those bushes trimmed.
Yes, exactly. You just never know what you're going to hear today.
That's
when
right.
We welcome Arlena on Garden Wise Living. And as she tours the country on her miniature garden tour, which is absolutely awesome. So tell everybody, X-rated Arlena, that's what we'll start calling the show.
No!
That's
not
the chat room.
I am talking normal talk here. He's the one that talked about the fuzz on the peaches. Tell everybody what? Tell everybody how they can find me?
Well,
I'm
actually,
since
we were talking, anyway, I'm just going to say. So next show, we're going to be talking all about pussy willows, I guess. Tell us how to follow you.
Tell us how to follow me. You can follow me on Facebook, which is Arlena. You can follow me on Facebook at Arlena Schott. That's my regular page, or Garden Wise Living on Facebook. We also have a wonderful group called Back. I can't even talk. Wonderful group, Miniature and Fairy Garden Chat. It's called Miniature and Fairy Garden Chat on Facebook. It's just a group where people get together and share their miniature gardening experiences and pictures. And also we have the Chicken Group, which is a wonderful group on Facebook that's growing amazingly. I can't understand. Every day there's like 16, 20, 30 requests. So it's just awesome. It's a group that just talks about chickens and things and what to do, and they decided what to do with the cats, and I figured out what to do with them too. Anyway, Twitter, Green Blessings. It's at Green Blessings is my Twitter. And then you can also watch some of my episodes on my website. It's Arlena Schott. Just Google Arlena Schott. Or Garden Wise Living TV with Arlena Schott will come up, or www.gardenwiseliving.tv. You usually can find me pretty easy. Just Google me. It's right there. I think if you Google, but she's a little darker than me, so it's not me. Anyway, she didn't tell us how to trim our pussy willows. I can tell you how to trim your pussy willows. I have pussy willows right next to the pond out here, and every year I trim them down to a foot and a half tall because those suckers grow about 12 feet tall every single year, and they give me beautiful little pussy willows. So you always want to remember, and even on the back of my shirts for my landscaping business, I always put, we keep our bushes trimmed. Yep. And that's a good thing. Anyway, it's been a wonderful show.
It's been great. We had fun.
Yes, we have had fun. I'm going to go out and shoot my cows now and go back to work and plant some plants for a homeowner. So we've got some beautiful coral bells and oh, goodness, what did I get her? I got coral bells and veronicas, and I do too. I got her like six different colors in this front bed of hers. It's just going to be beautiful. The colors of coral bells anymore are just absolutely amazing. I just love them. They're my favorite. But anyway, that's another show. But anyway, okay, we're out.
Thank you so much for coming on. Oh, and Linda says, send us some hamburger meat after you shoot the cows.
I will.
Send Linda the hamburger and send me the T-bone and the ribeye. And the absolutely. You got to love it. Hey,
okay,
thank you so much for
everybody
coming
in the chat
on.
Room, I love y'all. Thank you very much. Have a good day, and don't forget to Garden Wise.
Garden Wise, thanks so much. All righty, very cool, and I'm so glad to have Arlena on. She's just coming off the road doing her miniature garden tour all over the country, and she's going to be coming up in Michigan. I think she said the first of next month in Michigan. So visit her on Twitter, visit her on Facebook, visit her website, get a schedule, and go see her, because imagine how she's so much fun on the radio. Imagine how fun she would be in person. How cool is that? So, had a great show today, and we appreciate you tuning in. And let's see, tomorrow we've got, tomorrow we've got Richard Freudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Let me go ahead and get over here and see exactly what the topic's going to be for tomorrow. Give me just a second, I'll find out what the topic is, and I'll be right back.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Need an incubator? Think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All right, thanks for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Hey, we're getting a little rain shower here in Anderson, South Carolina. Hope you can make it out tonight. Love to see you. Sign your book. We'll have books here to sign and spreading the chicken love. So come on out to the Tractor Supply here in Anderson, South Carolina tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. I would love to see you. Tomorrow, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, is going to be here, and he's going to be teaching us all about weed control in the garden, specifically using newspaper and straw. So really looking forward to that. And you know, if Richard's going to be on, it's the majority of it, if not all of it, is going to be all natural, organic, recycling, things like that. So weed control in the garden and around the homestead. That's tomorrow right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So again, stay safe, be happy. Thanks for tuning in. Take care of that livestock. Don't be mean, and take care of it. And we will see you tomorrow right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Take care. Love you all. God bless everybody.
¶¶